XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're talking about your credit cards. What you don't know about them can really hurt you. And we're going to tell you what you don't know and what you need to know about those credit cards. My guests are Ted Daniels, President and CEO of the Society for Financial Education and Professional Development, and Mitria Wilson. She is an expert on personal finance. Lines are open. Give us a call. We're still taking your phone calls with your questions and comments at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before the break, Ted, we were addressing a question from a caller about using credit repair companies. Your thoughts about that?
Yes, I agree with Mika. You can do these things yourself. You know, as a matter of the process is you get your credit report. You go to www.andyourcreditreport.com. You see exactly what you have outstanding, what's in arrears, what the balances are. You contact each lender. You negotiate a payment arrangement that you can't afford, and you start making payments. You know, you can rebuild your credit yourself. I get really concerned when persons talk about using a credit repair agency, because in some instances they will offer an arrangement where you're going to settle the debt. You owe $1,000, but you're only going to pay the lender $700. Well, when you settle a debt for less than what you owe, it can cause your credit score to go down for over 100 points. You can lose 100 points off your credit score. So I always tell people, do not take a settlement that idea from a credit repair agency or from anyone. You know, pay the full amount. You know, work out a payment arrangement that you can afford and pay the full sum. Because the way the credit score formula works, it really dings a person who pays less than what was agreed upon. So you had to play it safe, play the full amount. Now, the other side, too, is that when you pay a debt that goes into settlement, so you decide to you agree to a settlement or a charge off, and it's less than what you owe, that's really it's treated as income to you. So the lender can send you a 1099, and you have to put that $300 on your income tax return.
Wow, so you get hit twice.
You get hit twice. Yeah. Your credit score goes down, and you got to pay taxes on the difference between what you owe and what you settle.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Kia, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Kia. What's on your mind?
Hi.
This
is Kia.
Uh-huh.
Kia.ia. And the reason why I'm calling is because I have one credit card, and I used it, and I still have, I think my limit is like $4,000 or $5,000. I've used $3,000, and I haven't used it since November. But I cannot seem to get rid of it. I can't seem to get that debt paid off because of the interest on it. It keeps, you know, occurring interest. I'm paying not just the minimum, but I'm paying more than what I'm supposed to. Like if a minimum payment is $250, I'm sending in $300. But I'm not getting rid of this debt, and it's driving me insane.
What's your interest rate?
What can I do to get myself out of debt? I don't want to use the credit card anymore, and I haven't utilized it.
Tia, what's your interest rate? Do you know that?
No, I don't. But I believe when I first got it, it was zero interest. Then it jumped up to like 20%.
Okay. Mitria, talk to me about what you're hearing from Tia.
Yeah. So, Kia, I think that your situation is a common one. I want to do two caveats to you. Number one, you say that you want to get rid of the debt. Here's another really interesting thing about credit scoring. Credit card companies, so if you have a credit card and you pay off all of the debt and you don't use the credit card, that actually dings your credit score. So what credit card companies are looking for is to see that you consistently can use the card and pay the debt down. So what you've described is if you have a $4,000 or $5,000 limit and you've used $3,000, then you are actually utilizing somewhere between 80% of the debt, and that's too high. Traditionally, in order to receive a good credit score on credit card usage, you need to use somewhere between 25% to 30% of the credit card. In terms of being able to pay down the credit card, if your payment is actually $250 a month and you're paying $300, mm-hmm. with your interest rate, you are actually not paying enough to pay it down at a consistent basis to realize what you want to do. So you would actually need to increase the amount of money that you pay. If you're not in a position where it's financially comfortable to do this and you have strong credit or credit that allows you to qualify for a personal loan, then I would suggest that you get a personal loan at a lower interest rate. Use that personal loan to pay down the balance of the credit card to where it's below the 30% utilization, credit utilization ratio that credit reporting agencies enjoy, or that they score favorably to you. And then, you know, continue to use the card going from there. So it's a misnomer. Credit cards are not a bad thing. They're actually very important to your credit report. And you want to be able to show that you can use credit cards effectively. Mm-hmm. And like I said, using them effectively is making charges during the month, but paying those charges off and utilizing the credit card again, and never utilizing more than 30% of the actual credit card balance.
Here's one thing I do want to add, and I'm somewhat familiar with this. If Tia is paying regularly, can mm-hmm. she ask for a reduction in her interest rate?
Here again, it's back to the terms and conditions of the credit card agreement. So what happened is probably based on what she's saying, she may have missed a payment. There's some credit card agreement says if you miss one payment, your interest rate goes to 29.99% indefinitely. Mm-hmm. Then you have some credit card agreements will state that if you miss one payment, but if you pay consistently for 6 months, your payment will go back to the lower rate. I don't know exactly if that's the situation that she had for a particular credit card, but that could be the problem because you missed a payment, you were late one day, or whatever the case may be, and went to 29.9%, so it's hard to liquidate. Now, I agree with Mika, is that since she's at 80% of her limit, it will cost your credit score. It cost your credit score to go down. You know, because there are two factors that you always have to be attentive to in managing your credit. You have to pay on time and you have to keep your debt load down. The rule that Mika mentioned before, no more than a third of the limit of your credit card. In this case, 30%. She had to bring it down. Mm-hmm. And that will improve her credit score.
One other thing, because Tia has brought up so many things, and I'll ask Mitria about this. Okay, so she says that she's been paying, Tia, you said $250 or $300?
I pay more. It ends up being about $300.
A month?
Sending. Yes.
Okay, so.
And that's like the limit that I can do. I can't do any more than that. And the reason I used it was because I was out of work, so I used it to pay my rent for 2 months.
Okay, well, hold on. Why you did it isn't the issue. But this is what I want to propose to Mitria. $250 a month over the course of 12 months is $3,000. What if she were able to secure a credit card, transfer that balance, if she found a credit card that was willing to give her 12 months no interest?
Then she should go for it.
I mean, is that a viable idea? Or even if, you know, there was a credit card that was offering her 6 months, you know, no interest, because at 200, she could pay off half of that with no interest on a new credit card if she transfers the balance at $250 or $300 a month.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. I mean, and that's the beauty of being a consumer. You can shop your credit card debt. You can transfer the balance that you have on your account. Now, the issue comes down to whether or not she qualifies mm-hmm. at this current moment for the lower interest rate credit card or mm-hmm. the zero interest rate credit card. And just to say, like, she could have missed a payment, but she didn't have to. You know, credit card companies are notorious for offering zero interest rates for 6 months or 12 months and then jacking up the interest rate after that time period if the entire debt is not paid off.
Okay.
Right? Well, and it's legal for them to do that under existing law. So it doesn't necessarily have to be malfeasance on your part, but it does require a concentrated decision on your part to, one, shop. And that means that, like, if you are being charged that higher interest rate and you're not making a dent in the debt that you have, then you have a personal obligation to yourself and your financial security to go look and see if there are other credit card opportunities that you can apply for that will allow you to pay off the debt at a lower interest rate that you can pay off sooner.
Okay.
And if you can't qualify for that, then my suggestion, again, would I would reiterate, if you have a relationship with a credit union or a local bank, you know, to look into the possibility of assuming a personal loan, which traditionally are at interest rates that are far lower than credit card interest rates, and using the money that you receive from that personal loan at a lower interest rate to pay down the balance of that credit card. You don't necessarily want to cancel the credit card. That could hurt your credit.
Okay. Well, Tia, good luck to you, and thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Chico, calling from Silver Spring. Thanks for calling, Chico. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I have a question. I have a Green Dot credit card, that card endorsed by Steve Harvey, and I want to know what's the maximum amount you could put on prepaid credit cards, because I have one, and I will soon get a debit prepaid card, and I will soon get multiple prepaid credit cards. Can you have a certain amount of money on multiple credit cards, and can I have a certain how many prepaid credit cards I can have?
Okay, well, let me see if Ted can address that. First of all, Ted, what's he talking about when he refers to prepaid credit card?
A prepaid credit card is where you load it up based on the amount of money you have in possession, you know, as you put money up front, you know. And it can vary based on the type of card, based on what the issuer is offering. It could be $500, could be $1,000, it depends, you know. I guess he can have as many as he can afford if he has the money to support it. You know, it's almost similar. I think about the secure credit card when I hear that. You know, some banks, major banks, will offer secure credit cards for people who are trying to establish credit for the first time, or they have damaged their credit in the past and are trying to reestablish themselves. And you put up $500 or $500 to issue the credit card. You use your pay. And once you demonstrate that you're credit worthy, they can give you a regular credit card, you know.
Okay.
So that happens too. But back to the young lady who was on before, she also can check the website bankrate.com. And they have a listing of all credit card issuers around the country. She can shop there also to see if she can find a better deal. Yeah.
Okay. Chico, thank you so much. Go right ahead, Mitria.
I'm sorry. So with respect to Chico, prepaid credit cards are actually notorious for being, quite candidly, abusive. And here's what I want to say. I think a lot of times consumers think that if they have a prepaid credit card, that their smart usage, responsible usage of that prepaid credit card is being reported to credit reporting institutions and is building their credit history. That's not true. There's no legal obligation of a prepaid credit card company to actually legally report your management of that credit card. And so if it is an attempt to build credit by you, you may not be getting the benefits of that.
So where should he go? Should he go to a reputable bank? Are there options that reputable banks offer as far as prepaid credit cards or the like?
So there are also some great credit card companies out there, prepaid credit card companies out there. Here, I'm not going to endorse any particular prepaid credit card company because that wouldn't be ethical. But here's what I will say. Here are the factors that I think you need to look at when you're looking at a prepaid credit card company. If it is an effort to rebuild or establish credit, then what you want to know is that prepaid company is, in fact, reporting to the credit reporting institutions. So they need to tell you that up front, that they will report your credit usage and how you manage the credit card to Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion. In addition to that, you want to be cautious of whether or not a prepaid credit card is charging you, you know,
a
crazy amount of fees.
Yeah.
Based on your usage. So if every time you use the card or you pull out money or you load money onto it, you're being charged money, then that's a problem.
Okay. Right? I've got to take a break. But Chico, thank you so much for your phone call and good luck to you. When we come back, more about your credit cards. What you don't know can hurt you. This is the Inside segment on SiriusXM Channel 141. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue the conversation about your credit cards. What you don't know about them can really hurt you. I have a question for Ted. I've heard about, you know, these credit cards where, and actually I have one where every time you use it, let's say you charge $1,000 and you, in the first 6 months, is interest-free. If you pay only half of it before or by the end of that 6 month period, what do you pay interest on? Do you pay interest on the original amount or what is left?
Well, it depends on the cycle, the business cycle, the billing cycle, excuse me. Mm-hmm. You know, any time you pay the debt off between the building cycle and the start of the business cycle and the end of the cycle, you pay no interest. Usually you'll state that in the agreement. You know, so it's also important when you receive your monthly statement, you know, you see exactly what the billing cycle is, you know, and pay the balance off to avoid that from happening, you know, so you won't pay any interest. The problem with people run into is when they look at the minimum amount, the minimum payment that is due,
mm-hmm.
pay it or pay more, but not really look at the cycle that they're operating under, because the cycle can run from 25 days up to 31 days. That's really critical that you know exactly what the cycle is to avoid paying any finance charges.
Mm. And Mitria, you spoke earlier about, you know, reading your credit card agreement. You know, you get them in the mail every now and then, and you know many of them are just a little bit shorter than the Old Testament. And so, you know, what do you look for when you get these multi pages? You know, should you read the whole thing, or is there something that you should specifically look for in those 5 or 10 pages that you get in the mail?
Well, so a couple of things that I want to say. One is, again, I want to reiterate that because of the Dodd-Frank Wall Street Reform and Consumer Protection Act, which is actually under attack in this current administration and Congress, there have been efforts to actually streamline what your credit card disclosures look like. And so under current law, you actually get a chart that says, it's a welcome refresher from the 20-page credit card agreements that, unfortunately, I'm admitting my age, that I received when I first had my first credit card, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you get a 3 to 4 page document. And in the chart, one of the things that they will have to tell you is what your interest rate is, also what your late penalty fees will be, how the interest will be applied, so how your payments will be applied to the principal balance, what your billing cycle is.
Okay.
And what notices that you are required to receive. That should be based on the CFPB's actual credit card disclosure agreement form and template. That should be a chart that appears on the first page of your credit card disclosure agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that chart is a great starting point for you to understand. As a lawyer, I would tell people to read everything, right? You want to read every single page because you want to know what your responsibilities are and you want to know how terms are defined. But if you don't have the time or that feels a little bit too intense for you, you should look to the chart that is required as part of the disclosure agreement to get the basic terms of your credit card contract.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Ted, do you recommend that married couples, for example, put their names, both names, on one credit card? I mean, people used to do it all the time in the quote-unquote old days,
mm-hmm.
and certainly and I'm telling, you know, my age, in that I do, you know, read, you know, history, and I do remember reading about, there was a time during the 60s when women couldn't get a credit card without the permission of their husbands, which I just find just amazingly crazy.
And I remember that.
Yeah. Well, there you go. yeah, we'll talk about
but
age.
I'm only 21.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I'm only 22. But should couples now share a credit card? Would you recommend that?
It depends on the relationship. It depends on the relationship. If they have common goals in terms of their financial well-being, I say yes, because it gives each person the opportunity to build credit, you know, a credit record on his or her behalf, you know. But if you have a spouse who just casually accumulating debt and not paying his or her debt on time, no, they should have separate credit cards, you know, because By having a credit card where both individuals are authorized users, it shows them on each person's credit report, you know, regardless of the fact that the person who said he would or she would pay the debt didn't pay it, you know. But it's a positive if the person does make the payment on time. It helps the other spouse as well. But it depends on the relationship, and if they have common goals in terms of maintaining their financial well-being, yes, mm-hmm. It's because it gives opportunity to build credit for both parties.
And one interesting thing to just add to that really quick is that, you know, one of the ways in which parents have been able to build credit for their children is that they have actually added them to an existing credit card account that they have. And that allows the child to establish credit by virtue of the parent's credit card terms and their payment history. Mm-hmm. So exactly what he said is spot on. You never want to do that if the person actually has a poor credit history or a poor payment history on that credit card, because that will then, at the point at which you add that entity or add that person, it reflects on both of your credit reports. But if you have a positive payment history on a particular credit card, then you can actually help someone achieve good credit through adding them as a user. So it comes down to whether or not the party has been a responsible party in paying the credit card, whether or not the credit card is at the ideal credit card usage ratio, which is below 30%. And the payments come in on time. You can help build credit for someone if you add them to an account.
Okay. Ted, go ahead.
Yeah, we present a lot of financial literacy training to college students, and I get that question asked by college students. My mother's thinking about putting me on her credit card. Should I say yes, or should she do that? Mm-hmm. I always say, if your mother pays the bills consistently on time, yes. But if you know there's a history in your household where bills are not being paid on time, do not allow that to happen. You know, it may appear to be convenient, but as many of us know now, employers are screening potential employees based on their credit report.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. A student can finish college at 4.0. But if the parent has damaged his or her credit because they were authorized user, they could lose a job opportunity. So if you have a house coming from a household where payments aren't made consistently on time, you need to establish your credit separately. I tell them just go ahead and acquire
and do it yourself.
Get a secure credit card and establish your credit yourself.
Speaking of losing your job, Tia mentioned that she used her credit card to pay her rent because she had lost her job for a time. Are there any kinds of provisions or stopgap measures that or benefits even that come with credit cards where if you lose your job that you can get a grace period or even the cards be paid off or something like that? I remember, you know, for mortgages, there were some companies do offer those kinds of safety nets. But credit cards, yes or no?
No, you know, what can happen is, you know, seek a settlement, which I said is the wrong thing to do. Mm-hmm. But you can use credit cards for that particular situation. And if you need to apply for credit again, you may just have to explain to the potential lender what the situation was. I was temporarily unemployed. I had to use my credit card to sustain myself. You know, but prior to that time, I have a good history of paying on time. You know, it's not a ironclad situation where you credit is one thing. Credit is credit and credit scores are dynamic, and it go up and down based on your actions and your behavior. You know, so if you can demonstrate you have maintained good behavior in managing credit, you just had this hiccup in your finances, such a dislocation in employment, you know, a reasonable lender will allow you to acquire credit to reestablish yourself.
Okay. Mitria?
Credit card companies will work with you given financial law. So some credit card companies, although legally we want to be clear, they're not obligated to you. Right? Yeah. But as a smart, practical business matter, a number of financial institutions will say, hey, if there's something going on with you, let's talk about it, and we can offer you a deferment. Mm-hmm. So a number of financial institutions offer that, and they will withhold reporting that you have not been able to pay within a certain period because they have a vested interest in having you actually meet your debt. In addition to kind of their own volition of creating a payment plan for you, there are certain insurance policies on the market that will allow you to be able to pay your bills in the event of losing your job, and that includes your credit card payments. But those are separate issues, and again, no one is legally required to give you that option, and so you have to tread lightly. When you use a credit card to pay for those type of expenses, it's not an excuse to the debt that you lose your job, not under the contract, at least.
Okay.
You just have to be mindful of that.
Well, I think that's a good place to end this conversation. Obviously, a lot of information tonight, and hopefully we've been able to help our listeners manage their debt and their credit card. Ted Daniels and Mitria Wilson, thank you both so much. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Yes.
That is the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Tuesday, May 9th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can follow me on Twitter at HFisherWHUR or at Daily Drum WHUR. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3.